The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jairus, a respected leader, begs Jesus to heal his daughter. A woman with a hemorrhage is ritually unclean, treated as an outcast in Jewish society. Both Jairus and the unnamed woman come to Jesus in faith, believing in his power to heal and bring life out of death. I begin reading at verse 21. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. And she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that the power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you? How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I invite the children forward for the children's sermon.
Play a little game with touch. Have you talked about the five senses in school? Yes, you know what they are. And hearing. Right. Well, we're going to talk about touch. Touch is one of those precious, precious gifts of the five seasons that God has given us. Now, this is not going to be scary, I promise you. But what I want you to do is close your eyes really tight. Don't peek. And I'm going to give you something, and I want you to tell me what it is. A ball. It's a ball. See how important touch is? Okay, your turn. Here. A box. My goodness. You are really good. Okay. Your turn, Trent. You've got to tell me what this is.
Glasses.
Absolutely. Glasses. My goodness. Let's try one more. Maybe I can make it a little harder. Okay. Here you go. Close your eyes. Okay. Come close. Okay, go ahead and look. I knew it was going to be a little harder. What was it? A safety pin. Yeah, it was a safety pin. That one's a little harder. All right, Trent, last one. A pin. You see, with God's gift of touch, you knew exactly what I gave you, and you didn't have to look. In our gospel reading today, there was a woman who had sores, and she was bleeding all of the time. And she had heard about Jesus. Without any question, she rushed over. She decided that, yes, there were people all around, but she didn't have to talk to Jesus. All she had to do was touch his clothes, and she would be healed. And that's exactly what happened. She pushed through the crowd, she touched him, and instantly she felt within her body, within her sores stopped bleeding. Jesus also knew that somebody had touched her. And he asked the people around him, who did it? Well, there were so many people, they couldn't know. But the woman told Jesus that it was her. And he said that her faith had made her totally well just by touching. We praise God that he has given us eyes to see, ears to hear, nose to smell, tongue to taste, and that gift of touch. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise your name today that you were able to save a woman by touch, and that this gift of touch is for us. Amen. Okay, thank you.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you like interruptions? Raise your hand if you like interruptions. I don't see too many hands going up. You know, interruptions are a pain a lot of times. You go outside to mow the grass and you start cranking on it, it won't go. You look inside the gas, there's no gasoline in there. So you go into the garage, you pick up your gas can, and it's very light. There's no gasoline in there. An interruption. You need to mow the grass, but before you can do that, you have to do something else. Or maybe you're on the telephone with a good friend, and your child comes up. Mommy. 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 An interruption. You're trying to have a conversation, but there's an interruption right there in the middle of it. Or you try to go vacuum the rug in your house. Pull out the vacuum cleaner, plug it in, turn on the motor and start vacuuming, and there is no suction. You look, and your bag is full. And you have no more bags. You've got to run to the store to get more bags before you can even vacuum your rug. An interruption. Interruptions are disruptive. They don't let us do what we think we need to be doing. But there's times when interruptions are good. I know a lot of times in my work, I welcome interruptions because I know that it's those interruptions, in those interruptions, that ministry happens quite often. Somebody's troubled and they come into my office. They need help. And I welcome that I'm in a position that God has put me there in that position to be able to help sometimes. Or somebody calls up in the middle of the night that they have an emergency at the hospital. And that's where ministry happens. A lot of times ministry happens right in the middle of crises. People know they need help. They can't fix it themselves, and they turn to God at that point because they know that only God can fix that crisis that's going on. And that gives all of us an opportunity then to do ministry. Even if it's an interruption from what you are doing, it's a time to do ministry. In our gospel lesson today, we have two interruptions that go on with Jesus. Jesus had just returned from the other side of the lake, and now he comes back over to the Jewish side. And people know him. He's already been over there before. He's talked to them. He's preached to them. He's taught them. He's healed them. He's had a few battles with scribes and Pharisees already. But people know him. And so when they see Jesus coming over, they flock to him. And so he has a large crowd. And before he can begin his day even, before he can begin teaching and preaching and proclaiming the kingdom of God is at hand, there's an interruption. And the interruption happens to be a leader of the synagogue. And he is an important person. As a matter of fact, he's actually named here in the gospel lesson. A lot of times the extra people in these stories are not named, but he must have been a very important person or a very well-known person that he is actually named. His name is Jairus, a leader of the synagogue. The synagogue was the center of life within a Jewish village, and he was one of the leaders, so he was probably one of the most important people in that village. And he interrupts Jesus. He rushes up to him, and he falls down on the ground and he says, "Jesus, please help me. My daughter is at the point of death. Come to my house and save her." And Jesus then starts moving toward Jairus' house. But then comes a second interruption. It's an interruption to an interruption. All right? And this time, it comes from someone who is on the complete opposite end of the social spectrum. Jairus is one of the most important persons in the community. The second interruption comes from someone who is not important whatsoever. As a matter of fact, she's somewhat of an outcast. She's a woman to start with, which women did not have much rights within a community in that society, in that day and time. And on the other hand, she had no money. She had spent it all trying to cure her illness, so she had no resources. And then too, because of her illness, she was considered unclean, which meant that she could not go to synagogue, and she could not be around other people. As a matter of fact, she could not even touch other people. And so she was an outcast. And so you have these two interruptions coming from two completely different people or two people from the opposite end of the spectrum of society. But even though these two people are so different, there's actually more similarities to these interruptions. One of the similarities is that both of them are desperate. Jairus loves his daughter. We love our children. We try to do the best that we can for our children. We hear the horror stories sometimes of child abuse, and it tears us up inside to think, how can people do that to their own children? But we do love our children for the most part. I mean, we make sacrifices for them. Some people do 2-3 jobs so that they can help put kids through school. We do everything we can if a child is sick. to make them better. Jairus is desperate. His child is sick. Sick to the point of dying. The unnamed woman here too is very much desperate. She's been an outcast of society for 12 years. She's been to the doctors, every single doctor that she could find or afford. She spent all of her money, all of her resources, trying to cure her disease. Nothing has helped. As a matter of fact, it continues to get worse. She's desperate. Another thing that these two have in common is that they both take great risk. Again, Jairus is a well-known person, a leader in the community, a leader in the synagogue. And as I mentioned a little bit earlier, Jesus had already had some confrontations with scribes and Pharisees. The religious, organized religious community had some issue with Jesus already. And here is one of the leaders of the synagogue who comes up to Jesus and throws himself on the ground and pleads with Jesus to help him. He takes a great risk in doing that. What will all these people, this crowd gathered around, think about him as a leader falling on the ground in front of a basically unknown carpenter, a person who has no credentials, a person who is not a leader somewhere in a synagogue or has no ties. What will these people think about him? Or what will those scribes and those Pharisees do to him? What will his peers think of him? Will he be ridiculed? Will he be laughed at? Will he be thrown out of the synagogue himself? Jairus takes great risk in coming to Jesus. The woman too takes great risk in coming to Jesus. She is an outcast. Because she is declared unclean, she is not supposed to be around other people. As a matter of fact, if she does touch someone else, they too could be considered unclean and not acceptable to enter synagogue until they would go through the ritual process of being made clean once again, which might have been sacrifice or a length of time that they had to wait. And so just touching or just coming into that crowd, if people realized who she was, coming into that crowd could have turned into a mob against her because she's not supposed to be there in the midst of them. And just the idea, that risk, and again, of touching Jesus, she runs the risk of making him unclean, making a rabbi, a teacher, unclean. People would have been bent completely out of shape. Jesus himself could have been very angry at her. But instead, once again, we see a similarity between the two people. She was healed. She was healed. She was made well once again. And Jesus turns around, or when he sees her, when Jesus sees her, he calls her daughter. She is no longer unnamed, but rather she is called daughter, meaning that she is a true daughter of Abraham, that once again, she has joined the community. She is welcome back into the community. She has been made well. She has been made clean. She has been made whole once again. And she can join in with everyone else. With Jairus too, Jesus goes to the house. The little girl has died at this point. And when Jesus says, "She's not dead, she's only sleeping," people laugh at him. But amazing things can happen through Jesus Christ. And he goes into her room and he says, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, arise. Little girl, get up." And she gets up. She is made well once again. Amazing things can happen with God. Things that we don't even realize. Things we don't understand sometimes. Now today in our world, we live in a world where there is illness, where there's disease, where there's death, where there's violence, where there's hatred, where there's hurt. We live in a world that is not pure. that is not holy in the sense that we have made it unholy. We are born into original sin, and so we are subject to these evil things that happen in this world, these tragedies, this illness, this death, this hurt, this pain. We have faith too that God can heal us, that God can save us, but sometimes it doesn't always work out the way that we want it to work out. We can't control God, but we can continue to have faith. Some continue to live with chronic disease or with chronic hurt. Eventually, every one of us will die. We are subject to the things of this earth. But we can still cling to our faith. Continuing to be ill or dying after you've prayed hard to God is not a sign of lack of faith. It is just simply a sign of the world in which we live. So we still cling to our faith, and we know what gives us strength in the midst of all these terrible things that happen in this life is that we know that this life, this world, is fleeting. It will not last. This is not a permanent situation. Things will change. And God can make those changes. God can make those changes now in our lives here. But God does make the promise too that we will live after death. That we will be raised once again. He will call us, arise, Talitha kum, arise. Be made well. Be alive. Live with God. And knowing that gives us that encouragement. It gives us the courage. It gives us the faith to continue on in this life now. Knowing that God will bless us. Our lives are filled with interruptions. Interruptions that sometimes just drive us nuts. But other times those interruptions are opportunities. Opportunities to let our faith show, to give praise to God, and to do ministry to one another. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.